A father's family is not nurtured by the abundance of material possessions.
Chuck Swindoll warns dads about buying presents to apologize for being gone.
There'll be a day when they won't even remember the gifts and they can't forget the absence.
Overwork and the other temptations fathers face, this week on Insight for Living with Chuck Swindoll.
The following Insight for Living podcast is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you.
Making a living is important. Making a life is more. Getting a good salary is perhaps very important to you. Making a reasonable living is certainly a right you claim to have. But I'll tell you, your children will never remember what you made. They will never forget what you were.
Relationships shape our personality and character more than the one we had with our dads. Today on Insight for Living, we'll continue Chuck Swindoll's brand new mini-series, Just for Men. Think back for a moment and measure those strategic passages in your life when your father was there to help you through. Well, now it's our turn, men, to take what we learned from Dad and pass it on to the next generation. Originally delivered to his church congregation on Father's Day, Chuck Swindoll's message is called A Vote in Favor of Fatherhood.
The Swindoll family often looks for ways to affirm one another, and we have a few traditions that we hold on to from year to year, and one of them is the red plate. Maybe you have heard about this red plate before, but if not, allow me to introduce it to you. It says along the border of the plate, "You are special today." And we distribute this rather freely in our family from day to day for various reasons. For example, if someone has a birthday, like our younger daughter last evening had her birthday. So we went to a restaurant and we took the red plate and we asked him to serve her on the red plate. We don't let restaurants keep us from affirming our family members. And on Mother's Day, of course, Cynthia gets the red plate. It's mine today, and so I will be served a big fat hamburger on this special plate today. Cynthia told me this morning we're going to have one of my favorite meals, and so I can hardly wait. My juices are already squirting. And then if someone achieves something, like graduating with honors, they'll get the red plate. If some graduate, they get the red plate. And, you know, you don't have to do it with honors, you just do it and you'll get affirmed. So, today, men, if you will let me just apply a little Swindoll tradition here, today I want to serve you this particular talk, not on a silver platter, but on the red plate. This is a message that I think God would have just for us who are fathers. And I want you to know my goal today is to affirm you. There's something about Mother's Day that is always affirming. You notice that? No one ever talks down to mothers. But when Father's Day comes, we usually save up our hottest exhortations for dads, you know. And I'm not going to do that today. As a matter of fact, I was sort of thumbing through my files on fathers, and I came across a piece that I've read portions of from time to time. And today it seemed appropriate that I return to some of this, even though you may have heard part of it. It doesn't hurt that it's repeated. It's called Why Fathers Hide Their Feelings. And the man who wrote it, D.L. Stewart, calls himself a husband of one wife, a father of four children. They have a dog and an overactive sump pump. I like the way he says that in this article. He is an author, and he's a syndicated columnist, lives in Dayton, Ohio. I don't know who D.L. Stewart is, but I understand where he's coming from. He says, my speech was finished and the audience had been generous with its applause. And in the car on the way home, my 14-year-old son turned to me and said, "I really admire you, Dad. To get up there and give a speech like that, you always know what to say to people. You always seem to know what you're doing. And I smiled when he said that. I may even have blushed modestly, but at that moment, I didn't know what to say at all. After a while, I thanked him and assured him that someday he would be comfortable speaking in front of an audience. But what I really wanted to say to my son was that his father was not all that he appeared to be, and that being a man is frequently a facade. It's different for fathers than it is for mothers, writes Mr. Stewart. Motherhood is honest, close to the surface. Mothers don't have to hide what they feel. They don't have to pretend. When there are sounds downstairs in the middle of the night, a mother is allowed to pull the covers over her head and hope that they will go away. A father is supposed to put on his slippers and robe and march boldly down the stairs, even if he's pretty sure it's the Manson family in the kitchen waiting for him. When the road signs are confusing and the scenery starting to look awfully unfamiliar, it's perfectly okay for the mother to pull over to the side of the road and ask for directions from the first person who comes along. A father is supposed to know exactly where he's going, even if he has to drive 200 miles out of the way to prove it. Isn't that funny? Mothers always have the right to stop and ask. Fathers, oh no, I know where I'm going. It drives right into the Pacific Ocean. I have planned this like this. I wanted us to see this part of the beach, he'll say. When the electricity goes out, no one questions a mother who simply lights a few candles and waits for the repairman. But everyone wonders about a father who doesn't pick up a screwdriver and head for the basement, even though he doesn't know his fuse box from a sump pump. Mothers can admit to the real estate agent they don't know a thing about fixed rate interest and balloon payments and second mortgages. Fathers, however, are supposed to nod their heads and pretend it all makes perfect sense. Mothers can bang a new jar of peanut butter on the floor until the lid is loose enough to open. Fathers are supposed to twist the lid off with their bare hands without getting red in the face. Mothers who lose their jobs are unfortunate. Fathers who lose their jobs are failures. When a mother gets hurt, she may want to swear, but she's only allowed to cry. When a father gets hurt, he may want to cry, but he's only allowed to swear. I should have told my boy that the only reason his father, like lots of fathers, doesn't admit his weaknesses is because he's afraid that someone will think he's not a real man. More important, what I should have said to my 14-year-old in the car that night is that someday when he's a father, he'll feel fear and self-doubt and pain, and that it's all right. But my father never told me, and I haven't told my son. So, Dads, it's all right. I have several jars at home I still can't get open. It is frightening when I lift the hood of my car to do anything but say, "My, that is interesting." But hats off to all the men today who have endured childbirth without anesthesia. And all the men who have stayed awake throughout a piano recital. Hats off. And to all the men who have placed the keys in the hands of a child with a brand new driver's license, and then raced upstairs and plunged to your knees in prayer that somehow they will find their way back. This is Dad's Day. And this is not a day to put men down. There's enough of that. This is a day to say, if you have him on earth, thank you, Dad. But if you don't have him, to look up and say, thank you, Father. Thank you for a man who wasn't perfect, But he did invest some things in my life for which I am a better person. There's a proverb that troubles me in the 30th chapter of the ancient book, where I'd like to spend some time. I really want to spend most of our time in Proverbs. And it's at the 11th verse of chapter 30, and I turn to with a sigh. Because while I want to give you something special on the red plate, I have to admit that we're living in a generation that doesn't want to serve you anything but criticism and blame. You're the reason for their hang-ups. What you lacked is the reason that they have struggled so much in their young adult life. And I come to Proverbs 30 and verse 11 with a sigh. There is a kind of man. In fact, you'll notice the next four verses begin with that way of beginning. There is a kind of man. If you carry the New American Standard Version, you'll notice the margin renders it, there is a generation. Interesting Hebrew colloquialism, there's a circle. It's kind of like there is a class of people. There's a generation who curses his father and does not bless his mother. There is a generation who is pure in his own eyes and yet is not washed from his filthiness. There is a generation, how lofty are his eyes and his eyelids are raised in arrogance. There is a generation whose teeth are like swords, jaw teeth like knives. It's beautiful Hebrew poetry. Those teeth cut. They say words that slice, and they come vomiting out of a mouth that's full of bitterness and resentment, that hates fathers and despises mothers. There's a kind of generation, and it's the one in which we find ourselves. We've taken our cues from some professions that have encouraged us to blame our parents on whatever it might be, our hang-ups, and to tell them so. And I wonder where the folks are who take the time to say to mom and dad, hey, thank you. Just thank you. With all of the failures and with all the flaws and with all the warts that you and I know were there, thank you for teaching me, and you certainly can name a thing or two or three or four. I run out of a list when I start numbering them. And I tell you, my parents were far from perfect. I've said to you before, and I say with a sigh, when I buried my dad, I buried virtually a stranger. We weren't that close. I didn't know how to get close, and he certainly didn't know how to get close. But I'll tell you, the things I learned from this man, I could not bring myself to curse him. The hang-ups in my life are my problem. They are of my making, and I must face them, and I must deal with them. And I solve nothing by saying, Earl Swindoll is the problem. I have to face the fact that in my past there were failures and disappointments, and there were disagreements, and there were a few arguments, but I've come to see the day in my life when I learned many more good things than bad things. You would not have a leader in this ministry like I am if it weren't for the parents like I had. I can assure you of that. And dads, maybe today will be a way of reminding you of the value of what you're about, and that is the nurturing of children, the modeling of a life before teenagers who look at you with maybe a jaundiced eye, maybe a few young adults in your family now who can remember back when you weren't all you should have been, and still the calling is to be what God would have you be. Socrates lived 70 years on this earth, wrote and spoke many wise things, nothing wiser than this statement: could I climb the highest place in Athens, I would lift my voice and proclaim, fellow citizens, why do you turn and scrape every stone to gather wealth and take so little care of your children, to whom one day you must relinquish it all? Yes, I'll talk about it. Making a living is important. Making a life is more. Getting a good salary is perhaps very important to you. Making a reasonable living is certainly a right you claim to have. But I'll tell you, your children will never remember what you made. They will never forget what you were. I'll tell you, as much as I lived in my home for those 19, 20 years, I cannot remember what my father made. But I cannot forget what he modeled. No less than 26 times in Proverbs, fathers are mentioned, never once negatively, always positively. That's interesting. You know who wrote the Proverbs? You know his father, don't you? Isn't that interesting? Here is Solomon, sired by David. Through a woman he had really no right to claim as a wife. But God somehow righted the wrongs and put him on his feet and gave to this man gifts of wisdom like no one who ever lived before nor since. Over in Proverbs 17 and verse 6, there is a magnificent statement that I'd like to have you look at. Sometimes we race over verses and other times we ponder them. This is one of those times I'd like to linger just long enough, kind of like a helicopter hovering over a site. Just hover over the word glory. Proverbs 17, 6. Grandchildren are the crown of old men and the glory of sons is their fathers. What an honorable term. What a respectful term. It is as though Solomon is etching in granite a word that is not applied to mothers, not in this book, only to fathers. There is that sense of thumbprint. There is that character glory. There is that that indelible mark, dads, that we leave on our young that the mothers do not leave. I can't explain why, but there is something about the glory that passes from father to child that isn't matched between mother and child. Oh, how valuable is the bonding in the young years. How important it is that there be flexibility in the growing years. How valuable that there be credibility and integrity in later years. So that throughout the process, children learn, that's the glory of my life. He's the one who taught me, modeled for me, lived with me through, and then they can name those things. They won't expect you to be perfect. They couldn't live with you if you were, for they themselves are imperfect. But battered and bruised though you may find yourself this day, I challenge you to locate a few of the fine points for which you are grateful and focus on them. Focus on them. That's what Solomon does. Not a word about a weak father. Not a word about a father who lacked discipline in one of his brothers or several of his brothers. Indulged Absalom. Overlooked another son who raped a sister. I mean, how negligent could you be, David? But when Solomon writes the Proverbs, he exalts the place of the father. And you will look virtually in vain today to find any place in the media that exalts the father. The father is the fool of the commercial. The father is the nut in the group. The father is the prejudiced mind. The father is the wimp. The father is not the leader. The reverenced glory of the family. And we're taking our cues from the media, unfortunately. A couple of areas I would like to cast my vote for in favor of today. First is the role fathers fill, and second would be the relationships fathers cultivate. That'll make it easy to remember. In three areas I want to highlight. Number one, the role of provider. Chapter 19, verse 14. Over a page, chapter 19, verse 14 of this book, house and wealth are an inheritance from fathers. House and wealth are symbols of provisions. When you think back, chances are good you had a place to live that was out of the cold and away from the rain and warm in times of a winter because a father provided for you. The amounts of money you needed to survive were probably provided by the father. The inheritance you take with you is an inheritance that was built by the father. Look at 13:22, if you will. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Ah, look at that. You would think it would say to his children. But it goes even further. A good man thinks beyond this immediate generation, thinks about his grandchildren, thinks about his great-grandchildren. That's on the father's mind when he's providing. Today is a good day to stop and express gratitude for the hours of hard work that your father invested. To thank God and to thank him, if he's alive, for the thousands, perhaps millions of miles he flew to keep food on the table. To thank him for the hundreds of decisions he made, though not popular, even at the threat of losing his job, that his family might have provisions. I will never forget, if I live to be 125, my father coming home from work with blood on his face. It was during an era right about the end of the Second World War. I was a young teenager. My dad didn't mean much more to me than dads mean to young teenagers today. But I was suddenly impressed by a father who crossed a picket line so he could feed his family. My dad had made the most unpopular decision he could make in a machine shop. And he came home, not to have a pity party, but to tell us, as tears came out of his eyes, one of the few times I ever saw my dad cry, that he loved us more than he loved a job. And that he loved providing for us more than he did popularity with his cronies at work. And he lost that popularity. He was called a scab. He was put down. He was hated by men in the union who chose not to cross the line. I don't care what your convictions are about unions. I care a lot what your convictions are about family and home. When you're put wall to wall against situations that would threaten the ability to provide for your family, you vote for the family. And you stand firm for the family. And you take the time to communicate their value, if necessary, to give your blood for it. My father was a little too old for the war, that is, to serve in the service. He was 2 years too old for the draft. It always bothered him, and he seemed to make up for it with his work ethic. The last day of my life, I will be grateful that I learned hard work from my father. This is a generation that seems to be losing that kind of emphasis. Not only for a provider, but a maintainer. That's another thought. Fathers are maintainers. Let me show you this. 22:28, same book. Proverbs 22:28. Do not move the ancient boundary which your fathers have set. I understand the nationalism of the verse. I understand the background of the Hebrew. But what I want you to see is the practical side of the firm boundaries set by the father. You probably had a father that set the boundaries in the home. If you did not, I'm sorry for you. I really am. The father is usually the one who establishes, this is where this family will stand.
Originally delivered to his church congregation on Father's Day, you're listening to Insight for Living and Chuck Swindoll's message, A Vote in Favor of Fatherhood. Now, there's more from this message coming up in a moment, but first, we want you to read a brand new book from Chuck Swindoll that ties in naturally with our current subject. It's called Strength of Character, Seven Essential Traits of a Remarkable Life. In this easy-to-read, gift-sized book, Chuck explains how we can allow the Holy Spirit to enter our lives and do a transformational work from the inside out. You're invited to request a copy when you include a donation in an envelope addressed to Insight for Living, Box 269,000, Plano, Texas, 75026. You can also call us right now at 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. This is a listener-supported ministry, and we deeply appreciate those who give as we bring Chuck Swindoll's teaching to your station every day. When you give, ask for the book Strength of Character. It comes with our thanks. Write Post Office Box 269,000, Plano, Texas, 75026. At the beginning of the program today, you heard Chuck describe the red plate he's used in the Swindoll home to celebrate special occasions. Well, if you'd like to begin a tradition your family will never forget and start celebrating milestone moments with the red plate, just give us a call or go online and place your order. You can call 1-800-772-8888 or go to our online store and look for the red plate. You know, the issues facing men in our culture today are sometimes overwhelming, and that's why we've pulled together this collection of studies. You can order a copy of today's complete message on CD or the entire four-message series by going to our website and looking for Life Lessons Just for Men at insight.org. And now let's take a moment to enjoy what's ahead tomorrow when Chuck Swindoll casts his vote in favor of fatherhood.
Your children learn to respect authority. Your children learn that the policeman on the corner is a friend. Your children learn that when dad says it or when mother says it, it's to be respected. Or do you help your children get out from under that galling authority of our day? Do them a favor. Discipline them fairly, consistently. Do the teachers a favor. Do us in the church a favor. Give us children who are disciplined. And we'll work hand in hand with you to provide for this society a body of people that'll change this world.
Chuck Swindoll's study, Life Lessons Just for Men, continues tomorrow on Insight for Living.
You've been listening to Chuck Swindoll on Insight for Living. To learn more about this listener-supported ministry, browse and bookmark our website. You'll find us at insight.org. This podcast may not be reproduced, duplicated, or transmitted without written consent. Copyright 1987, Charles R. Swindoll Incorporated, presented 2007.